Welcome, bienvenue, welcome. Fremda, étranger, stranger. Glücklich zu sehen, je suis enchanté. Happy to see you, bleib, rest, stay. Welcome, bienvenue, welcome. Im Cabaret, au Cabaret, au Cabaret. Meine Damen und Herren, Mesdames et Messieurs, Ladies and Gentlemen, guten Abend.
Hi, my name is Ian, and this is the Pandorica Alliance, an evil podcast spent on talking about Doctor Who, among other things. So today would have been our first podcast, but in light of bad editing, well, not bad editing, more bad recording, I cannot give you the first part of this official first podcast, which would have been the comic relief review, the time and the space and time review written by Stephen Moffat. So we are really deeply sorry about it. Basically, it was just bad recording. Sorry about that. So today we are going to review Christopher and His Kind. Now I am joined by two lovely people, Susan, who lives in Melbourne, and also Ryan, who lives in Singapore. Sadly though, Ryan has not watched Christopher and His Kind the moment we reviewed this, so we decided that she should watch it and then we'll just record, because we don't want to spoil her with like things that should be seen through your naked eyes. But we'll try to get her back next week, or maybe next week, because we don't know our schedule. And also I think we're gonna go per weekly, like April 23rd, when the actual show arrives. So after the jump, here is our review of Christopher and His Kind with Susan, aka Romana Tyler, and me.
What good is sitting alone in your room? Come hear the music play. Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret. Put down the knitting, the book and the broom. Time for a holiday. Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret. Come taste the wine, come hear the band. Come blow a horn, start celebrating. Right this way, your table's waiting. No use permitting some prophet of doom to wipe every smile away. Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret.
Hey, we're back. I'm here with Susan. Ryan would not be with us for today because she hasn't actually seen Christopher and His Kind, but here we are, our Christopher and His Kind review. So, Susan, what do you think about it?
I thought it was quite well done. I thought it was a quite good little drama, and Matt was spectacular in it. I went in expecting to see the Doctor doing all this stuff. But I didn't. I actually saw Christopher Isherwood. Well, Matt playing Christopher Isherwood.
Yeah, because it had less of, shall I say, sexual stuff than you would, like, expect. You would expect, like,
yeah,
Isherwood would be, like, bumming everyone for some reason. But
I wouldn't quite describe it like that, but, yeah, you would have assumed that there would be more, I suppose, emphasis put on his sexuality.
Yeah.
And his sexual activities, but there wasn't.
Isherwood wrote the story Sally Bowles, Mr. Norris changes trains, and also Sally Bowles' The Berlin Stories were adapted for the musical Cabaret. So I've seen Cabaret and I've listened to it. I think I got obsessed with Cabaret because I got obsessed with musicals. But if you look throughout the movie, you would see a bit of Cabaret with Sally Bowles and Fräulein Schneider, Trost. Is it Trost? Forgot.
Landlady. Oh.
The landlady. Yeah. She was patterned for Fräulein Schneider. And also, the, like, call girl. It was also patterned for Fräulein. I forgot her name.
Jean Ross.
But, yeah. It was Jean Ross. Is Jean Ross Isherwood's, and I am saying this in a greatly loving manner, a fag hag? And then silence.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a response to that. This is going to be a hard podcast to race. This is not going to be G-rated.
I think we're going to cross between the explicit tag and sometimes we're not going to do it. I'm just thinking of ideas.
Mm. Well, I suppose you could call her that. I would more tamely call her his friend, his best friend, but yeah.
I do love Lindsay Ducan in this episode because she played Isherwood's mother so good. I mean, she, for one thing, she is honing on the guilt. She is guilting the freaking guilt trip that she put on Isherwood during the time that he left for Berlin and during the time that he came back to Berlin with Hans.
Heinz.
Heinz. Yay.
You said Hans.
Hans. Eh, I always do that. My English is not my second language. So, how do we think about Mr. Norris, Gerald Hamilton? Because during the first of all, Isherwood had really great friends that are eccentric and eclectic. I mean, W.H. Holden, am I saying it correctly? Orden,
I think it is.
Was a really saucy and bitchy character. There's also Jean Ross, who was very much in your face. And there's Gerald Hamilton, who, I don't know, is kind of like a sinister character during the episodes.
Oh, yes. He's very sinister, I'd say.
Have you read some of Isherwood's work, like Single Man or...
No, unfortunately, but I can actually honestly say that after seeing that, I would look for his work and read it.
Yeah, I am finding Goodbye to Berlin in my local bookstore, but they sell stuff that really does not interest me. For one thing, I think the episode was great. The first half of it had a tone of your typical gay indie film. Okay, I have a story of this. The Philippines has like a market, a factory of gay indie films. And if you've seen one gay indie film, you have seen...
You've seen them all?
Because first half of it, he goes to the cozy corner. And there this is straight acting call boy. Pierce something, I forgot his name.
Casper.
Casper, yeah. Then there's Casper, who was like straight but doing it for pay, and like Casper is just using Isherwood to get money,
those kinds of things. It kind of felt like that in the first half, but during the part where Heinz and
Heinz,
it kind of felt more leaning to Isherwood or to more of an autobiography than a common like gay indie film.
I actually thought they were quite cute together, and I don't just mean because it was Matt Smith and whoever the guy was who played Heinz.
Heinz. The guy played Boy George in a tele movie.
Not the first time he's played gay then. Okay.
Yeah. how about the sexual stuff? Is it too raunchy for a Time Lord or not?
Yeah, now you remind me of it, I just go, ooh.
Because I think it's kind of... Have you watched
yes,
the Diary of the Poor Dwarf?
I have.
With Billy Piper. When I watch it, I kind of see Billy Piper, Rose Tyler. So when Matt Smith did this role...
Yeah, I have expected to be doing that too, going, oh my God, that's the Doctor, what are you doing? But I didn't. No, it actually felt appropriate within context.
Yes, and you only see him, like, how many times he was naked? I think twice.
You see, bare chest once, and full on, but like...
Ass nudity.
Enough, yeah, you get enough that you can, there's no way you can't tell that he's not
actually
naked.
I think I read somewhere that the BBC... didn't want Matt Smith to show his badonkadonk because it was inappropriate. But because you see in the first one that he had some kind of sheet covering the lower part.
I think there was something about the BBC. They didn't want him to... They didn't want his bum shown. And I can presume that also... extended to...
I think so.
His front.
The ending was sad. The last act of the movie was really good in a way. But I still have a thing...
I actually started tearing up when they were in the hotel and Heinz was showing... Christopher the photographs of his family and telling him that his son was named Christoph. I thought that was...
I think that was weird. Because you're naming your son after your ex-lover. I think it's lovely.
It can be weird, but it's like, at the same time, it's like, oh my God, you really did love him. Loved him that much.
No, yeah. I think...
Yeah, I know, it's...
That you would name your child Christoph.
On one level, it's creepy. On another level, it's cute.
Throughout the story, you've seen the dolphin clock.
Yes, the dolphin clock.
Have you known about the
that
dolphin clock?
That is real.
Yeah.
That was real.
It was given to him by Dawn.
Yes.
Isherwood's long-time partner. So what do we think about the story? Is it good or bad?
I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was quite amazing and brilliant and, yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, Matt Smith was great. I really loved Lindsay the Canadas because she had that, in the 50 minutes that she has been there, I felt that really strong and I really like strong or bitchy characters. Jean Ross was a bit of a handful, but she is great to be read. I'm trying to find that song that she sang at the cabaret. The one man has hands that are tender, one man has hands that are strong. I forgot. I don't know the title. You know the title?
Not that I can recall, but It'll probably be on the internet somewhere.
It was a happy yet sad ending. If you have seen the really, really last bit of it, those black titles, you know, the ones that they put on documentary that people have died and blah. It's really sad that Isherwood and Hines never talked again after publishing Christopher and His Friends. Because it was as handset to Frank.
Hines said its frankness was appalling.
Yes. I think I'll read Christopher and His Kind or find Goodbye to Berlin. Because if it's really that frank, how much sexual stuff is in it? Because I think this version of Christopher and His Kind was an abrupt version. It was a great abrupt version. But I want to know the whole shebang.
I do like how they kept Matt and the young man who played Hines all the way through and actually aged them a little bit to keep in with the appropriate time frames.
I think Matt Smith's aging was a bit more less than the usual Hollywood aging process, because you have to note that Isherwood was more or less more youthful when he was in his 50s. So I think what the people did was just blacken his hair and just put a few wrinkles. My only problem with Christopher and His Kind is Ido Goldberg, because he played this Jewish department store owner. Ido Goldberg, I'm giving reference, he played Ben in Sick and Tired of the Call Girl.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, now I recognize him.
I don't know where he fits in the story. That's just my whole pet peeve for this, because when I see him with Isherwood, it's kind of like we're in a...
was under the impression that he was actually teaching Isherwood German.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
But I...
Because that with the whole irregular verbs and stuff.
But I thought he was playing this, I've seen the documentary, The Real Life of Cabaret, and it says that Isherwood was playing, was in this sex institution, and he was playing this Ido Goldberg is playing the sex doctor. That was my impression, but when I saw it and knowing he was a Jewish department store owner, it just kind of says that we're giving this perspective that he was Jewish. Or there's this perspective that the flight of the Jewish people during the rise of the Nazi era. Oh, and that scene with Matt Smith and a Nazi guard in the bathroom, that was overplayed. I think that it's too cliche, because it's too gay cliche that Isherwood and the Nazi guard are in a bathroom, and not in a sexual way, well, in a slightly sexual way, but still. Okay, any last comments about this, Susan?
Just to go back to the start a little bit, I really liked how they made out the cozy corner was this magical place. I got for some reason, got that sense.
It's the gay Disneyland.
Well,
yeah, it is a gay... It's more because... Isherwood was in a socially repressed country, and if you are suppressed in the country and you see this liberation around you, it kind of feels like you're in Disneyland. Showing, you're being who you are, you're expressing yourself. So, Susan, are you still there? With me? So, Christopher and his kind, I think we liked the episode.
Oh, yes.
How about the future of the Pandarica Alliance? Basically, we're going to come back on the 23rd. I think, are we going to do some kind of pre-Doctor Who premiere?
I haven't seen any evidence of it yet, but there are apparently supposed to be prequel coming out to The Impossible Astronaut.
So I think before the premiere of Series 6...
The Impossible Astronaut?
Series... When is 23? We're going to do some news and a bit of reviews from things that are long, long time away. I think we should do a commentary on the 11th hour. I think.
Yes. We've got time between now and 23rd. We could potentially do a whole commentary for all of Series 5 plus Christmas Carol.
No, we only have 4 weeks. If we can do it, if we have a podcast once a week.
Oh, yes, this is fine.
So I think we can do, like, 11th hour.
Well, we could start it. We could start with the 11th hour.
And then go through the new series special, the series 6.5, then after the 6.5, we're going to resume our commentary, then the Sherlock reviews, and then are we going to do Torchwood Miracle Day or not?
Yes, I think we should.
Okay.
I think we should do Torchwood and Sarah Jane Adventures, if possible.
If possible. And then we're going to continue back to September with the Series 2.1. On behalf of Susan and Ryan, my name is Ian, and this is the Pandorica Alliance.
Auf Wiedersehen. A
This has been the Pandorica Alliance. You can find us at pandoricaalliance.blogspot.com or on our Twitter account at www.twitter.com/pandoricaap. Intro, intermission, and outro songs are Wilkonen, Cabaret, and Finale, which is sung by the 1998 revival cast of the Cabaret musical. Music and lyrics are done by John Kander and Fred Ebb. The Pandorica Alliance is part of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. You can